Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this special edition of the Strang Report podcast, the podcast that encourages you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And today we are going to learn about making the Great Commission great again with a friend of mine, Stephen Halford, who I've interviewed before on my podcast, and he's an interesting guy, and you're going to find out how interesting, and you'll find out also about how the Great Commission relates to Africa, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome to you, Stephen Halford. You and I have been friends for a number of years. I interviewed you once when you were in England, so it's good to have you back, and I'm excited to talk about Africa. So maybe my first question should be, why Africa?
Why not? That's a great question. Thanks for having me on. I felt a call to Africa when I was quite young, maybe 20 years of age. I was in England and got a prophetic word that they saw me on a stage preaching to people of different colors, and I was holding up walking sticks and wheelchairs. And then I thought, yeah, that sounds good. I think I'd like to do that. And it was about 10 years later that I actually got to go to Africa to teach in a school over there in Uganda. And when I stood up to preach, I had long blonde, bleach blonde hair, and I was wearing a t-shirt and shorts, and because I just went along to carry a friend's bags. And I got up to teach and preach, and the Holy Spirit fell, and people got saved and healed and delivered, and they invited me back next year, and I got cleaned up and dressed nicer, and we started teaching and preaching, and just the crowds grew and the opportunities grew, and then went from Uganda to Kenya to Tanzania, Rwanda, and into Nigeria, then ended up going to other parts of Asia, in Pakistan, and then around the rest of the UK, and back to America, and then back over there, and so that's kind of how it started. It just kind of wasn't anything I purposely did. It's just something I really fell into.
Well, I've always so admired and respected the love you have for evangelism, for the lost. You've told me stories about witnessing on the streets in Orlando,
yeah. And
then, of course, in England and these various parts of the world you're talking about, and you're so passionate. You know, in a day when it seems like Christians are more and more blasé, and they even define a churchgoer as someone who goes to church twice a month. When I was a kid, somebody said they had a drug problem as a kid. Their parents drug them to church all the time, and that was in our family. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings, you know, and all kinds of other things. And but you know, you're just so on fire, and here you are in Orlando, Florida, ministering to Africa, and I know that we've been friends long enough, you've talked about it, going over there and having a crusade, and then the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
So, of course, that cut out the travel. And I thought you came up with a very interesting solution, which is kind of why I wanted to do this podcast, to talk about it. So tell me what I already know, or at least part of it, and my listeners, what you did when they shut down travel to Nigeria.
Well, I went all the way up to Georgia to get my visa, and I applied, and then they sent it back to me a month later saying, no, you can't go because you're not allowed to go. So the Africans, they said, can we do it through Zoom and through Facebook Live? And I said, yeah, that's a great way to do it. And so we just went for it. And instead of me spending tens of thousands of dollars doing what we normally do when we travel, it cost me $500. Which I just paid out of pocket, and then a couple of friends said, "Hey, we want to bless these people," and we bought them all the food that they needed for three centers in Abuja, in Jos, and in Lagos, and they just beamed my big face onto the wall with the sound, and we did about 4 hours a day for 3 days, and they had their own worship, they had their own, basically we had a normal church service and an outreach service. And then they would break in order for me to come on and teach and preach. But I was just staring directly at a camera on my computer speaking to a camera screen without any crowds, anyone cheering you on, anyone giving amens, and then prayed for the sick, and we prayed for deliverance for people, for demons to come out, and demons still come out. They still exist, whether people like it or not, and the lost still get saved, and the blind see. We had a woman. I was sent a picture the next day of a woman when we commanded blind eyes to open. She got instantly healed, and she came to church the next day on the Sunday, and everyone went mad because they saw this blind woman walked in being able to see, and she was praising God. So Jesus still heals, and that's why I'm passionate, because he's alive. And I think in America, around the world, my generation, people in their 30s and 40s might be losing sight of the Great Commission and the importance of going into all the world and preaching the gospel and making disciples. And that was what the emphasis was on the what we went over there to do, or what we beamed in to do.
So, you know, use this opportunity, because there'll be a lot of people listening, to persuade people of your generation or younger.
Today and forever. And his words, they ring out from all of eternity, from the beginning of time to the end of time. If it can ring through time, then it can surely ring through my TV screen. And that's the beauty of what we're going through, is that the way we're doing church might change a bit, that we can still do conferences overseas. And when it comes to the anointing and it comes to the evangelism, it's to create a culture, a fivefold ministry culture across churches that gets a properly rounded view of who Jesus is in the life of the church. So that means every single person in the church gets a culture of the apostolic, of the prophetic, of the evangelistic, the pastoral care, and of a sound biblical doctrine. You've either got true doctrine or false doctrine. You don't get gray doctrine. It's either right or it's wrong. And so to create a culture across the churches of evangelism, of being a witness, and to really, my emphasis would be just to get to know God and the Holy Spirit and let him burn within you. And Reinhard Bonnke said to us many years ago, I was in a conference with him in England, and he said, you cannot maintain the Holy Spirit. You cannot maintain the fire of God. The fire of God maintains you. Because we eventually run out of our own fire, our own zeal. We get older. Some people might get sick. They may have, even just a flu can knock you out for us in England for a month. And so these things can knock you out. But if you trust God and the Holy Spirit, he can propel you. So my generation very much is looking for vision. So how do you get vision? Well, you open your eyes and you look with your physical eyes. You go to the place that you want to get vision. If you've got a heart for the homeless, you don't sit at home hoping someone will be raised up to feed the homeless. You go to where the homeless are. You want to see where the lost are. You want to reach the lost, or you just believe your Bible. You go to where the people are that you need to reach. It's that simple. So many people, they want the stage, because we're in this generation with the Facebook where everything looks happy, or on Instagram, everything looks great, but that's not real life. It's not the real life most people are living. So we have these people that we see, these ministers who are famous and they're on the stage. That's just such a small percentage of Christianity. That's not real. That's not the real average Christian on a day-to-day life, but we are called to be witnesses. So Paul said to Timothy, fulfill your call, do the work of an evangelist. Timothy wasn't necessarily an evangelist. He was planting churches, but Paul told him to do evangelism, go evangelize. And so Jesus is called the prophet, he's called the apostle, he's called the teacher and the shepherd. He's never called the evangelist. I think the reason why is because everything within him is about evangelism. It's about reaching out to those that need to know Jesus. And I think that's a part of Jesus that we really need to let out. So my prayer isn't so much, God, would you rend the heavens and come down? It's, Lord, would you just come out? Would you come out of me? You're in me. Rivers of living water is inside of me, inside my spirit. Would you just come out and burn? And then as you burn, would you just release your spirit to every person that I can come in contact with? And it's not just about being eloquent with words. Paul wasn't eloquent. He said it's not with eloquence of words, but in power and demonstration. Go pray for someone. Lay your hand on them. Give your neighbor some food. Reach out to those people around you. Go buy double when you get takeout and find someone on the streets. Just go love on someone. It's not all about standing on a street corner and preaching. It's about letting Jesus out and being Jesus to this generation. And I think that will really help my generation, that you can be a witness in everyday life.
So well said. And I want you to dive a little deeper in your explanation about this anointing that you talked about and how the fire of God fell and the deliverances that happened. Explain that, and then as a follow-up, I should ask you why we don't see more of that in America.
That's a really, really important question. I think part of the reason, I'll start with the end there, but part of the reason why is because of the gospel we're preaching. I think part of the gospel we're preaching, and then also we just don't go. The emphasis of the gospel is go. Go into all the world, right? And so the emphasis of what Jesus wants to say to us, if we would simply read our Bibles and believe it and obey it, we'd turn this world upside down. In the UK, we saw a few moves of God. Every time I've traveled, a move of God's broken out. And I ask God, like, why? Why? And I think I just simply believe it. I simply believe that the word of God is true, that when I read it and then Jesus tells us what to do and we do it, he'll back up our words. So when Jesus says, go cast out demons, heal the sick, I'm like, okay, let's do it. I don't have to, but I get to. And in England, the demons still come out. In America, demons still come out. I was just working a regular job when I was younger, and it was a Hilton. I went in there to do some work, and it was the call center. And I started talking to some woman about Jesus, and I saw that look in her eyes. Her eyes started to glaze and bug out. And I recognized it was a demonic presence. And she was talking about a ghost that she would see around her house. I asked a few questions, and I said, in Jesus' name, devil, you listen to me. And she started manifesting in a room with all these people. And I said, are there any Christians in this room? And two said, yes, we are. One was a Seventh-day Adventist. One was a Southern Baptist. And I said, do you pray in the spirit? And they said, we can pray. And I said, good, then pray. And we prayed. We cast a demon out of this young woman. She got soundly saved. And the two other women said, we've never seen power like this. How do we have that power? I said, well, you've got to spend time with Jesus. You've got to be intimate with him. And you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is the key to the power with Jesus, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, exercising the gifts of the Spirit, exercising the gift of tongues, which is how I get stirred up in order to go and win the lost. And what was the second part to your question that I started with?
Yeah, I should probably be more careful in how I ask questions in the order, but I wanted you to describe this anointing.
That's right.
You know, you were talking about, you gave a very good example about deliverance from demons in what you just said, but what happened in Nigeria, and how in the world did you do that through a computer screen?
Well, the words of Jesus are Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his words, they ring out from all of eternity, from the beginning of time to the end of time. If it can ring through time, then it can surely ring through my TV screen. And that's the beauty of what we're going through, is that the way we're doing church might change a bit, that we can still do conferences overseas. And when it comes to the anointing and it comes to the gospel, why don't miracles like this happen in America? They do happen like this in America. We just don't hear about it that often. And I don't think it's because we have a lack of belief, but we have a presence of unbelief. There's a difference. And so we need to get unbelief out of the hearts of the people. And we do that through prayer, through spiritual warfare, binding and loosing. And once we get that spirit of unbelief out, then we can speak faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can speak faith into the life of the hearer, and they can get saved, and we can get them delivered and set free. And another thing is, if miracles follow the preaching of the gospel, what gospel are we preaching that doesn't produce power? And that's where I would ask the question for ministers across America. Are we emphasizing what Jesus calls the gospel of the kingdom? Repent and believe, in that order. Repentance is the key to salvation, and belief in God is the key to salvation. And then we need to ask the question, what Jesus do we believe in? Do we believe in a prophet? Do we believe he's Elijah the prophet? Who do we think he is? We must know the answer that Peter gave. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. We got to get Jesus right. And that is the key to the anointing and unlocking the power of God in the life of a believer.
You know, I'm interested in seeing this. I'm so fascinated with what you're saying. I thought I would try to tune in when it was live, and I was traveling and just unable to do it. So this is available on your Facebook page. People
Yes.
can actually go and watch the whole thing. Is that right?
That's right. There's 7 sermons. They're about an hour each. And then I have questions and answers at the end. It is a bit awkward when you've got, there's a 5-minute delay from Africa to us, so I have to kind of fill that in whilst they're sending me the questions. And so I am, again, speaking to a screen, but there are 7 sessions. 2 of those sessions, the video cut out right when I was getting ready to get into some serious things. But we got back online very quickly. You can go to my Facebook page, Stephen Halford, or you can go to my website, which is Stephen with a V, stephenhalford.com. And from there, you can go to my Facebook page, and it's on my Facebook page there, as well as my personal Facebook page, Stephen Halford. And you can
find me.
Why
don't you spell the whole thing Stephen Halford?
Okay. It's StevenHalf, as in Freddie, ORD.com.
And so I encourage people to go there. And that's also, if they want to reach you for some reason, there's a way to leave a message and follow your ministry.
Absolutely.
What does the future hold for Stephen Halford?
I just want to go to the ends of the earth and preach Jesus. If I could do that every day for the rest of my life, I'd be a happy camper. Not because I want to be seen, not because I want to, if it's one person, two people, if it's 10,000 people, it doesn't matter. People need to know the gospel. They need Jesus, because I believe that Jesus is the hope for this world. He's the hope for America. He's the hope for every individual. Without him, we're helplessly and hopelessly lost. I believe that hell is real. I believe it's eternal. And I believe that our sin will drag us there, and that we need to turn from it, turn from our sin, and turn our lives over into the hands of a loving God who wants to love the hell out of us and clean us, cleanse us, and give us a new path and a new future.
So well said, and I appreciate you taking time from your busy schedule to do this podcast. I think that this is a very important topic. We don't talk about it, cover it, deal with it as much as we need to in the church. Hopefully, podcasts like this and the article we'll do and the other things we do here at Charisma Media will help raise the profile of this. And I so love that slogan, making the Great Commission great again. And so God bless you for what you do. I think it's so, so important. And I'll give you the last word.
Thank you. How long do I get for the last word?
As long as you want.
I won't take long. No, I totally agree that making the Great Commission great again. I remember when I was younger, living in America the first time, we knew that America was the great giver to foreign missions, and where the rest of the world wasn't that great when it comes to foreign missions. I do believe that when I go to Nigeria, one of the things that we do, and I'm still trusting that Americans will continue to give into the Great Commission for us to go and preach the gospel, because America's got so much to give. I'm an immigrant in America, and I'm so grateful for what America's given me. Firstly, it gave me the gospel, and it gave me love, it gave me a home, it gave me a family, and it sent me to the nations the first time. And that's how I got my start in South America and then in Asia and then back to England and Africa. And in Nigeria, the north of Nigeria is where I've been going to, and it's where it's been radicalized by the Muslims, and they're killing Christians. They've had over 35,000 Christians have been murdered in the last 10 years in the north of Africa, where I've been, in north of Nigeria, and there's been over 1 million people have been displaced. I want to go reach those people before they get radicalized. I want to reach the Muslims before they become radicalized and end up killing one another. And last time we were there, God broke out in such miracles, signs and wonders. A great revival broke out that's been going on for 10 years now. You may never hear my name. It's okay. It's not about Stephen. It's about what Jesus is doing in the life of the church. And if I have a gift that they need over there, it's not because I want to see myself in lights. It's because I just want to obey Jesus. I want to please my Heavenly Father. And you don't see many pictures on my website because the cameramen come with me. And within the end of the first day, they're laying hands on the sick. They're preaching the gospel. I'm like, put the cameras down. Come help me. And we'll stay all night laying hands on every sick person. You may be 10,000 people there. We will lay hands on every sick person. If it takes all night, that's what we'll do. We'll eat with the locals. We'll pray with the locals. We'll cry with them. And by the end of that week, we've planted 5 or 6 new churches. By the end of that year, 50 new churches. The end of that 10 years, we've had over 1,000 churches planted. And all across Africa. And from Africa, they will one day come to America, come to England, and they will be the ones that will impact this world with the gospel of Jesus.
Well, we'll leave it there. And I want to encourage people to support your ministry, to check you out, to
thank you.
Get involved, to follow your advice. And I'll thank my listeners for listening. Share this with others. put this on social media. Let's get the word out. We want it to go viral. And then come back again tomorrow for another podcast. It's people like you who tune in and who share it that I am now just over 4.7 million downloads. Who would have thought? And so I'm so appreciative when you do this. Also, you might go on iTunes and leave us a little review. That helps. And so we're just trying to get the word out. And this podcast is one way. And I'm so appreciative of people like Stephen Halford who are really getting out of their comfort zone and doing some pretty incredible things. And God is no respecter of persons. You know, God can do that kind of thing through any of us who are yielded to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.